I felt like I've already given a sermon. Okay, come, let's give this time. Let's open this time with a word of prayer. Let's come before the Lord, okay? Father, we thank you so much that you are already here. And this morning, Lord, we want to honor you, Father. We want to honor you, Lord Jesus. And we honor you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that because of what you have done for us 2,000 years ago, and even beyond that, since the creation of this world, and even before the foundations of this world, that, Lord, that today we know and we understand and we can see what love looks like. We can see what true divine love, agape love, looks like. Self-giving love, sacrificial love, love that goes beyond all boundaries, love that is so lavish, so extravagant, so precious. And Lord, we pray that even as we come right now, as we offer you our worship, as we offer you ourselves, even our presence here, Lord, we pray that you will be honored, Lord, even with what we have here. And even as we hear your word, Lord, being spoken, we ask and pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak to each of our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will quicken your word in our hearts, O Lord. That, Lord, we pray that every eye will see a fresh revelation of who Christ is and the glory of Christ. Every ear will hear your voice, your sweet voice, and your precious words. Every heart will receive your words that will bring transformation in our lives for all eternity. We give this time to you right now. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So, one of the things that I do, when I'm not preparing a sermon or when I'm not having to talk to people or to go for visitations or go for meetings, when I have my downtime, I will watch television with my wife. Okay, so don't judge me for that. Okay. So I'll have my down, it's only during my downtime, okay? Usually it's uptime for me anyway. So I'll watch a television with my wife, and recently we've been watching an American science fiction crime drama, and it's called Persons of Interest. How many of you know that series, Persons of Interest? Or if you've watched that, oh, yes, it was, I think, filmed back in 2013, sometime back. And those of you who know this movie, right, there are two main characters in there. Okay, there were quite a few of them, but the two main heroes will be one who is a computer genius, who's a billionaire, and he's paired together with an ex-CIA agent. Okay, and they will work in partnership alongside a supercomputer. Now, back in 2011-2013, AI was not such a big name yet, but today what we will call a supercomputer is an AI computer. So they will work in partnership, and they work together to prevent crimes from happening in New York City, okay, before it happens. So they go around saving the world, saving people. And as the story unfolds, right, they were saving a lot of people, saving a lot of lives, and then came the problem. People started to discover about this supercomputer. So these two heroes were subsequently being pursued after and being targeted by various people, the government people, by dirty cops, by bad people who wanted to get their hands on this supercomputer. And there was an episode where these two heroes appeared to have finally been outwitted by all the bad guys. And they were trapped. And there was no way out. It looked like their lives were on the line and they have reached the end of the road for them. So my wife and I, we were watching this and we were so engrossed, we were literally sitting on the edge of our seats and we were exclaiming and getting very anxious for the two heroes. And we were like, oh man, you know, don't they know that the room is rigged? Oh, quickly, hurry up, you know, those bad guys are coming, you know. And we were all getting so excited, anxious, our hands were getting sweaty. The chips that we were eating stopped as well. And then I turned to my wife and I asked her, I said, which season is this episode in? And then she replied, season 2. I was like, what? Season 2? And there are 5 seasons in this whole movie series. So these bad guys, these heroes will live on. They will live past this episode. Everything will be well and everything will be fine, right? Because if they die now, then there wouldn't be another 3 seasons to film, right? Right? So when we realize, or when I realize that we were only in season 2, then I started eating the chips again. I knew they were not going to die. Just watch the drama unfold and no need to get elevated blood pressure or palpitations of heart or sweaty palms. Now, I don't advocate eating chips, okay? Eating chips is not good. But downtime, downtime. But that was probably the scene that we saw and the scene that we had about 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was crucified by the Romans, by the Jewish leaders and the elders. You see, for the followers of Jesus and his disciples, they followed him for a few years. They watched how he reached out to people across cultural norms with such radical love. They watched him teach with such divine wisdom and authority that was unlike any other prophet or priest. They saw how he performed the wondrous signs and the miracles that were literally out of this world. They were there on the streets of Jerusalem, cheering him on as he entered the streets with pomp that was fit for a king. Jesus' followers had hopes that he would be the Redeemer of Israel, that he will be the promised Messiah. But to subsequently witness Jesus being flogged to shreds, being crucified, being lifted up on the cross without an ounce of modesty given to him, and being made a public spectacle to the world as well as to angels and demons. Was this how it will all end? It felt kind of anticlimactic, looked kind of bleak. As Jesus hung on the cross, his followers looked upon him with bated breath. They were wondering if he might do a mighty sign or a mighty demonstration of power. Maybe he would call down fire from heaven. Maybe he would call down legions of angels that were at his disposal. And maybe he would come down from the cross in some dramatic fashion. But none of that happened. Instead, Jesus actually died. Jesus was subsequently buried in a tomb, sealed with a large stone, even guarded by Roman soldiers. His disciples and followers were thrown into utter dismay and disappointment. Was this really the final episode? Like how we watch a movie, right? It may look like it's the final episode. But hang on and sit tight. After 3 days, which felt like an eternity, on what seemed to be a regular morning on the first day of the week, a few of Jesus' followers, women, wanted to offer their final act of love and service to their beloved teacher. So at the break of day, they hurried over to the tomb and they were greeted with a shocking scene. The stone that sealed the tomb was rolled away. They rushed into the tomb and they found that the tomb was empty. The linen that wrapped the body of Jesus was there, but the body was nowhere to be found. His body was nowhere to be found. So whilst they were still trying to grasp their bewilderment and trying to get a grip of the 1,000 thoughts and questions that were flooding their minds, 2 angels appeared to the women and asked them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And as how some of our young people these days will put it, they will say, "Wait, what? Bro, the body of Christ is not in the tomb because he has risen from the dead." Jesus was buried, but the tomb could not contain him. Jesus died, but death could not hold him down. Jesus was put to death, but now he has been raised in glory and in victory. Jesus is alive, and he is alive forevermore. Hallelujah! Is that worth celebrating? Yes. So I'm going to invite Sister Sue up now. Okay, I wonder how many of you know, Pastor Kara sang a song on Friday for Good Friday. I'm not as brave as her, I will need a music accompaniment. I wonder how many of you remember this song, Jesus is Alive, by Ron Canolli, in 1991. Were you around in 1991? I know I was around. Some of you will not be around yet. Okay, Jesus is Alive. How many of you know this song, Jesus is Alive? Can we have the lyrics on screen? I'm going to invite all of us to stand, and we are going to sing this song, and we go, hallelujah. Okay, so those of you who know this song, we're going to sing it out like we mean it, okay? And sing it with a celebratory note, okay? Help me along, all right? I'm called to be someone who shared the word, not a worship leader, so help me along. Come. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever, he's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega. The first and last is He. The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God has risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. I think you guys need more practice than this, man. The way you're singing is like, you must go, hallelujah! Jesus is alive! All right? Okay, we'll try again next time, next Easter, okay? Thank you, sister. You may take your seats. So you see, it turned out that the final episode did not end with an anticlimactic defeat. It was not bleak. In fact, it turned out to be one of triumphant victory, of astounding glory. Now this is the true and the accurate good news of Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection and the life of Jesus. And that's why we call it Resurrection Sunday. And it's not about hot cross buns or Easter eggs and Easter bunnies, right? But people, I want you to just think for a moment. If the resurrection of Jesus is true and it did happen, then it will have significant effects and significant implications for us. So this morning, I would like to talk a little bit about the resurrection of Jesus. There's a lot that we can talk about. I'll just go through a few points, share with you a few points about the resurrection of Jesus. And the first point is this, that the resurrection of Jesus was a real historical event. It was verifiable, it was reliable, and it is credible. Now, in the Gospel of Luke alone, as you could see in Luke chapter 24, the empty tomb was first discovered and witnessed by at least three women. In Luke's Gospel, they were named as Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. But there were also other women present. And we also do know that by the word and account of two to three witnesses, the matter in question is justifiably established. So in this case, we had three women, at least three women and more, who witnessed the empty tomb. But besides this, after the apostles Peter and John heard the testimony of the women, they ran to the tomb and witnessed for themselves the empty tomb. And that also lended credibility to the women's testimony. We also do know in the later part of Luke chapter 24 that Jesus would appear in person to two of his disciples while they were walking along the road to Emmaus. And subsequently, he appeared to the rest of his disciples when they were in the room. And when they were in the room, when Jesus was there, he wanted to prove to them that he did indeed rise from the dead bodily and physically. So he invited them to feel the scars that were on his hands. And he asked them also for some fish and chips. He asked for broiled fish, not fried fish, because broiled fish is healthier. And he ate it in their presence. Because a spirit will not be able to eat only in a real physical body. So Jesus did not rise merely as a spirit, but he rose with a new body. And this time, his body is one that is incorruptible and he will live forevermore. Now, after this, we also know from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, when he wrote the letter to the Corinthian Christians, that the resurrected Jesus was seen in the flesh by more than 500 men and women, eyewitnesses. Now, besides the eyewitness accounts by Christians, there were also non-Christian sources that documented and accounted for the resurrection of Jesus. And many of these non-Christian sources were considered by the academic world as reputable and credible as well. And over the history of time, scores of people have tried to dispute the resurrection of Jesus, but they all eventually arrived at the same point. That is, Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. So this is a historical fact. It is accounted for. And if Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, as I've mentioned earlier on, this means it changes everything in history. It changes how we read the Bible. It changes how we take the approach or the gravity that we give, the authority that we give to the Word of God as well. Let me explain more. The second point that I have is that God's Word is true. God's Word is reliable, it's credible, and importantly, it is authoritative. Now, we know that when Jesus appeared to his disciples at Emmaus in Luke 24, and when he appeared to the disciples in the closed room, he opened up their minds and he showed them all of Scripture, which is the Old Testament that we have today. The writings of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, and he showed them that Scripture were indeed pointing towards Jesus. And in these scripture writings, they had indicated that the Messiah, the promised Messiah, would indeed suffer the things that Jesus suffered and then enter into glory. And not only that, during his ministry on earth as well, Jesus had been telling his disciples and those who were present that he will be delivered over to be crucified. He will be buried and then he will rise again on the third day. So both the scriptures that were inspired by God and the words of Jesus came to pass. What this means is that the words of God and the words of Jesus are absolutely true. They are credible, they are reliable, and they will most certainly come to pass. And this is why God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that every word that he speaks, it will accomplish what he desires and it will achieve his purpose. Therefore, it should bear down upon us then that the words of God are absolutely authoritative in this world and in our lives as well. Now, in a world today that we see that we have increasingly more fake news and more disinformation, meaning attempts to skew information and to mislead people. With all of this fake news and fake information around, whose words can we trust or rely on today? whose words can we trust and rely on to build our lives and to build our future, to take us into life beyond this world even? It is definitely not going to be ChatGPT, nor any of the AI sources that we know. So it is actually quite sad that when you see people actually forming relationships with AI-generated characters. God has already spoken in His words about how the future of this world will eventually look like. And God has already laid out the way and the path in which we should take. That Jesus is the only way, He's the only truth, and He's the only source to eternal life. So regardless of whether we choose to agree with it or not, whether we like the sound of God's words or not, Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. And because He did, it means that the words of God are ultimately final and they will most certainly come to pass. It's either we pay attention to the word of God and we lay hold of it, or we miss it and we miss the boat. And the third point about the resurrection of Jesus is that the implication is that salvation and the forgiveness of sins is found in no other name but in the name of Jesus, the Christ and the Son of God. Let me explain a little bit. You see, according to the standards of the Almighty and the Sovereign God, who is absolutely holy and just, any sin, any wrongdoing, regardless of whether we may think that it's a small sin or it's a big sin, any sin or wrongdoing has to be judged. And the judgment, the penalty for sin or wrongdoing, according to the standards of a holy God, is death. Not only physical death, but also spiritual death, the eternal separation from God. And all of us have sinned against God at countless points in our life. We have sinned against God either by our words or by our actions, by our thoughts, even by the motivations of our heart. And much as we would like to believe that we were all angels, the truth is that all of us have fallen short of the standards of a holy God. Correspondingly, this means that all of us here are deserving of the sentence and the penalty of death many times over. For every sin, the penalty is death. We would have had that sentence laid on us many times over. But why are we still here today? It's not because God has forgotten. It's because of His grace and His mercy. None of us will be ever able to save or to redeem ourselves by our own efforts. No matter how hard we may try, no matter how much good we may think that we can try to do in our life. Because we cannot redeem ourselves from a life sentence when our very lives have already been earmarked for death. We cannot redeem ourselves with what we owe. The only way out of this is for someone who has no debt to be willing to pay our debt. And that person will have to give his debtless life in exchange for our life in order to redeem us from the penalty of death. And so we hear on Good Friday, Jesus was flogged 39 times with lashes on his back, till his back was literally in shreds. He was spat upon, he was bruised, he was mocked, humiliated, he was rejected. Eventually, Jesus was nailed to the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, born in the flesh, God incarnate. He willingly shed his blood and he laid down his life on the cross. And it was not for the sins and the wrong that he had done, but for the sins and the wrongs of you and I and the rest of the world. The one who was wronged by us, whom we should be trying to appease or make appeasement with, he instead stepped down and he stepped into our world to bear our sins and to take the penalty of our sins upon himself. He died in our place, on behalf of us, in atonement of our sins. But as we have heard earlier on, this episode did not end with Jesus remaining dead. Because what was more important and astounding was that God raised Jesus up from the dead after 3 days. Now, what this means is this. Jesus was himself truly without sin. And that is why he did not have to stay dead in the tomb as a consequence of his own sin. But here we see that God has vindicated his son, Jesus. And because God the Father raised Jesus up from the dead, it also meant that God had accepted the sacrificial death that Jesus made in atonement of our sins. And so those who believe in Jesus, those who will put their faith in Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, will receive the forgiveness of sins and will be redeemed from the penalty of death. More than that, they will also be considered holy and righteous. They will be justified in the sight of God, pure, just as they have never sinned. And it wasn't because of what they have done, but because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, it marked a turning point and a new beginning for mankind. There was now a new and a realized hope for the salvation of mankind, of humanity. The resurrection of Jesus is a reality that determines all eternity. The resurrection of Jesus is a reality that determines our eternity. And in the entire history of this world, there is not one person who have claimed to offer salvation or claim to know the way to God and the way to everlasting life who have died and rose again. None. Since the time of Adam and Eve, every single person who died had their bones still in the grave. And none was raised to life, except one, Christ Jesus, God incarnate, the Son of the living God. He rose from the grave, and he lives forevermore. And so therefore, salvation, the forgiveness of sins and redemption from eternal spiritual death, is found in no other name or person but in Christ Jesus alone. And this brings us on to the next point regarding the resurrection of Jesus. And that is, the resurrected Jesus guarantees our resurrection and our eternal life. We can see in John chapter 11, and if you can also make a cross-reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because Jesus was physically raised to life, his resurrection foreshadows the resurrection of every person. Because he lives forevermore, eternal life is found in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life. We also know from John chapter 5 and Daniel chapter 12, that on that final day of judgment, on that final episode of life in this world, every single person will be resurrected in a physical, bodily form. Every person. But the difference is this. Some will rise or be resurrected to life, while the rest will rise and be resurrected to judgment, to everlasting punishment and separation from God. So friends, brothers and sisters, what will the final episode of your life look like? What would it be for you? So some of you might ask, so what do I need to do? Let me tell you an Old Testament story. There was an occasion in the Old Testament when the Israelites were journeying through the wilderness after Moses had led them out of Egypt. And they were journeying towards the Red Sea so that they could get around a region called Edom. And then, in the midst of the journey, the Israelites became impatient. And they spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. They were in disdain towards God and Moses. They even showed contempt for the food that God has supernaturally provided for them each day. So as a result of their sin and their ingratitude, God meted out His judgment and He sent venomous snakes into the Israelite camp. Some translations would say that He sent fiery serpents as a metaphor. So you see the fire there in the serpents. So as a result of that, many of the Israelites died that day from the snake bites. So the Israelites, they reached out to Moses and they asked him to intercede with God on their behalf. And so God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it onto a pole and lift it up, so that if those who were bitten were to look at the bronze serpent, they will recover and they will live. So the Israelites, those who were bitten, they had to, by faith, look towards the bronze serpent hanging on the pole, and then they will be saved. Fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus, in His conversation with Nicodemus, one of the most respected teachers, Jewish teachers of that time, Jesus made reference to this Old Testament event. And He said in John chapter 3 that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. And John the Apostle, who was the author of, we presume as the author of the Gospel of John, he will go on to say in verses 16 to 18, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So what is the key word here? What is the key action here that will determine the final episode of our life? What is the key action that will determine if whether we will be resurrected to life or if we will be resurrected to judgment and condemnation? The key word and the key action here is believe. Believe in Jesus, God's one and only Son. Now, to believe in Jesus, what does that mean? To believe in Jesus means that we believe that He is the Son of God, in whom we have salvation and life eternal, life abundant. To believe in Jesus means that we believe that He is our Savior, that we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior. To believe Jesus means that we believe that He is our Lord, meaning that we will no longer follow ourselves or follow our sinful desires as master, but we will now follow Jesus as our master. So we repent. To repent means we turn away. Turn away from our sins and stop living in our old sinful ways. But to henceforth obey and follow Jesus' words and ways. And when we follow Jesus' words and ways, it will lead us and it will give us true life. So believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, both now and on that final day. Through the sending of His one and only Son, Jesus, through His death and resurrection, God has now opened a way for us. And He has given us a loving and a generous invitation to salvation and to eternal life. And how we respond to God's invitation would determine how the final episode of our lives would look like. Have you given thought to what the final episode of your life would look like? Have you responded to God's invitation of salvation through Christ Jesus? I suspect that most of us here already have and have accepted Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. But I'll just like to say this for the benefit of those who might not have yet. For those who have not accepted Jesus' or God's loving invitation and His gift of salvation, God has yet again, this morning, presented you with this opportunity to receive His love and His gift of salvation. And this morning, we can either choose to look away and eventually to perish in our sins for all eternity, or we can look to Jesus, believe in Him, and live. So would you choose life? Turn to Jesus. Look to the risen Jesus. Put your faith and your belief in Him as your Savior and as your Lord, so that you too will be saved. So that the final episode of your life will be one of a joyous celebration and a glorious transition into a life of eternal glory with Christ Jesus, the risen Lord and King. So what would the final episode of your life look like? So yeah, just invite everyone to just bow your heads for the moment. I want to give this as an opportunity now. For those of you who have yet to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I'd like to give you this opportunity this morning to respond. And if this morning you would like to say that, yes, I would like for Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior, I'd like to follow Him henceforth. I'd like to receive His gift of salvation and eternal life. I'd like to be part of the party that gets resurrected to life and not resurrected to judgment. If this is you this morning, I'd like to invite you to raise your hand so that I can pray for you and I can pray with you. Thank you. I have seen your hands. You may put your hands down. I want to give this opportunity again, and I want to tell you this one thing. It is by no coincidence that you are here this morning, because 1,001 things could have happened over the last few days or even in one single night. But it is by the love and the grace of God alone that this morning we are all here, and that we are here to be able to hear His words and His words of truth, His words that shows us the future. So if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, if you'd like to receive His gift of salvation, this is the time now to respond to the Lord. Don't wait any further. So if you would like to respond, please raise your hand that I may see it again and that I may lead you into a time of prayer and I could pray for you too. Okay, you may put your hands down. I'd like to lead you in a prayer this morning. For those who have raised your hand, please pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I have sinned, and I choose from this day forth to repent and to turn from all my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you are the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried, and that you rose again from the dead. I receive you now, Jesus, as my Savior, and I confess you as my Lord. I thank you for what you did for me, and by faith, I now receive your gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. Please accept me now and make me a child of God. Help me by your Spirit to live in your truth and in your way. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. I'd like to just pray for you right now, for those who have just said this prayer. You should just close your eyes. Let me pray for you. Father, you see all those who have responded to you, those who have raised their hands, those who have not, those perhaps who are watching online and making this prayer online. Father, you hear all their prayers. I pray, Lord, that you will seal their prayers, O Father, and would you now put your Spirit into each of them. Your Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, let your Spirit also now bring resurrection life in each of them. New life, O Father, and a new creation. Give them a new vista, a new perspective, Lord, that they are able to see Christ for who you really are. Lord, I pray that you birth within them a hunger for your word, that as they read your word will come alive within them, and that your life will bring deep healing and deep restoration and deep transformation in their lives. Father, would you keep them in your name and keep them in your love. Keep them by your Spirit, Lord. Empower them to live in your way. And Lord, that each day they will be filled with the joy of their salvation. Each day they will encounter your love anew and fresh. We entrust them into your hands right now, dear Lord Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, for the rest of us who are believers of Christ, I want to encourage us all to stand firm in our faith. And let us not be like the Israelites who repeatedly forgot the love and the mercies of God, who grumbled against God. But let us always remind ourselves of how much God loves us. Let us thank Jesus daily for all that He has done for us, so that because it was through Him that we share in His abundant and eternal life. It is through Him that we have His resurrection power and His Spirit that's powerfully at work within us. It is through Him we have a living hope and the blessed assurance of a resurrected life in the presence of God for all eternity. And so that's why, brothers and sisters, this is why we partake of the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, together as a family whenever we meet together. Because when we partake of the Lord's Supper of the Holy Communion, we are proclaiming the death and the resurrection of Christ our Lord until He returns. And behold, Christ Jesus is returning soon. So at this point, I'd like to invite our communion service to just come forward to help us with the distribution of the communion elements. And while that is being done, I'd like to invite the rest of us to just reflect on the love of Christ, the sacrifice that He made, the love of the Father, and the grace and mercy that He has shown us. Now, this communion is for those of us who are believers, those of you who raised your hands earlier on and who have now accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may partake of the communion as well. But for those who have yet to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I ask that you will please refrain from partaking of the communion because it has spiritual implications. Has everyone received the elements? I'd like you to invite you to take a stand now, please. The bread that we hold in our hand represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. And the cup that we hold represents His blood that was shed for us. So this morning, I'd like to invite all of us to just make a prayer. All right, I'm going to lead you in a prayer so you could repeat after me. And let this prayer be your prayer that comes from a heart full of thanksgiving and cheer unto the Lord. All right, let's pray. Would you say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. Thank you for saving us by your grace through our faith in Jesus, our Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us through your atoning sacrifice for us. Through your body that was broken for us, and your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Father, for raising Jesus up from the dead. And he lives forevermore. Thank you for the living hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that we will also rise again to life everlasting. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enabling and empowering us to live as a new creation in Christ, and to stand firm in our faith to the very end. Lord Jesus, we look forward to your return. And we as your bride cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. And all of us who are in Christ Jesus would say, Amen. Amen. Shall we partake of the bread together? And let's partake of the cup together. Lord, we thank you once again for the sacrifice that you made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful, wonderful episode that is the turning point of history, that's the cornerstone of our faith, that is our living hope for the eternity and future. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was shed for us. Help us now to live each day of our lives in the joy of our salvation and in the power of